I'm checking to see if the Lord has given me a nudge on something. When we were singing that song, that last song, was there anybody here say, Pastor, I just wanted to just spend some time in the presence of the Lord, and I kind of wanted to be prayed for? There's something that's been on your heart, and you're like, I just wanted to be prayed for at that time, and I didn't really want that moment to end. Was there anybody that felt like that? Because I don't want to miss an opportunity. And so, if you're raising your hand and you feel like that, I want you to come forward because I want to pray. I want the church, let's pray. Because the Holy Spirit wants to move, and if we have a hunger for the Lord to move and there's a desire and something the Lord's drawing out, we want to be ready for that right now. And we don't need to wait for an altar call. Because, see, when we're worshiping the Lord and you just feel like you're just getting close to Him, you just don't want that time and that moment to end. So we want to pray for Him too. So if the Lord's touching any of you to come pray for, would you just do that? Because we just believe the Lord wants to do some powerful things today. Jesus, Your presence is here. Lord, I don't want to guess at what You're doing. I don't want to begin to ask anything in my mind. I just want to trust You already know. In Jesus' name, I'm just going to anoint Him. Church, would you extend your hands and pray right now? The Holy Spirit would be honored as we pray for these folks that are forward. And if somebody else is feeling that touch on the Lord on your heart and you just want to come up, please do. We just believe the Lord wants to minister. Jesus came here to minister to the deepest needs of our hearts. And Lord, beyond anything we know, I want to thank You right now, Jesus. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Lord, for that hunger and that thirst, that draw to come near. Just this word, just this word. If You will draw near, I will draw near to You. If You will draw near to me, I will draw near to You. Caleb, if you just turn on some music lightly in the background while we pray, I'd appreciate that. Just go to the end of the slides. In a void that it never is like, I believe Jesus can do two things. He can satisfy you 100% and keep you hungry at 100% at the same time. I don't know if you're in that place, but I feel like that's my heart, even in this time together with you guys. Man, we get to have heavens. This is our piece of heaven on earth. We get to enjoy that right now. You know, the Lord gives us a promise of what's to come, but we have promises right now, and the Lord wants to speak to us. The Lord wants to speak to us. Amen. So if you'll turn to your Bibles, I want you to look at John chapter 11. Now, this chapter in John 11, you'll probably say, Pastor, I've heard you preach on this quite a few times. And I'd say that's true. And I got something new for you today. But the Holy Spirit has me hung up in John chapter 11. When we were at our conference, so in intermission over on Seaside, we came in the worship, and the Lord's renewing something in me. Because sometimes we try so hard and forget that the Lord never told us to try so hard. As a matter of fact, I was reminded in Acts when He said, when Jesus told His disciples, wait for the promise of the Father, the Lord reminded me, He said, I didn't say work for the promise of the Father. I said, wait. And when they did, they came together and they prayed together. It was that simple. And they waited for God to fulfill what He had promised. I don't know if you guys are sitting there feeling like the Lord is renewing that reality to me. That it's He that's already made the arrangements ahead of time. He's already tried to tell us. You're not trying to cultivate anything. All you're needing to do is get in the water with me. I've already made the decisions ahead of time. And so part of this time, I've just been feeling it for the last few weeks. There's a song that says, He's as close as a mention of His name. And I got so distracted with working at trying to get to be close to Him that I forgot that He's actually that close. And so that reminder, just the Lord's refreshing, there's just over and over again, just the touch of the Lord fresh on my heart. And I'm praying that for everybody here. Maybe you came here and you say, Pastor, I have been just anointed in the presence of the Lord today. I've been feeling his presence. I came here and I already knew before I got here the Lord was here for me. I've been feeling the same thing. Jesus is here. The one who died, buried, and was rose again is right here with us. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because some of us got something in our head that says, well, but I got this problem. Can you forget that and just join Jesus in what he wants right now? I'm going to share out of John 11. And as I do, I pray that that compounds that reality for you. I pray it just shows that what Jesus is already, Lazarus is laying down. This is one of these realities to me. Lazarus is dead. He's not offering anything up. Someone tells me we qualify here because we're not in our grave yet. He's not doing anything in particular. The Lord has a plan for Lazarus. I just want to remember that. Lord, what plan do you have for me? Help me see that today. So I'm asking the Lord to continue to unveil that. Let's read in verses 1. Anyway, as I was at Seaside, As I was there, we came in, we were worshiping, and the Lord brought some fresh thoughts in chapter 11, verse 1. And as I was coming to like think, Lord, what would you have me to share? I could not get this off my mind. I cannot get this off of my mind. Now we'll read in verse 1. You never know what a preacher will do. You never know what this preacher will do, at least. And now, there was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. I want you to pay attention to verse 2. It says, and it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. It was that Mary. The Lord wanted to make sure we knew what Mary, because there's a few Marys in the Bible, isn't there? He wants us to know what Mary is in this scenario and situation. And I thought, man, that's, Lord, grow my hair, because I would, the thought of being able to have that moment with Jesus, to take, not just to anoint his feet, but to be able to wipe his feet with her hair. I can only imagine what was happening in that moment. And believe me, when I say I can only imagine what was happening to Mary in that moment with Jesus. Because there's something in the human spirit that once we finally meet with some of the deepest realities of God, there's some, you'll go to no end. There's no such thing as being humbled in that sense. It's being honored to give him the privilege of just being at his feet. John, I think, said it well when he said, he that comes after me is preferred before me, and I am not even worthy to unloose the shoe straps on his feet. That's the Jesus that's here with us right now. That we're sensing as we're worshiping when we come before we even make it. Lord, you're here. There's a healing power to the name of Jesus. And so Mary, she caught that moment with the Lord and never missed that chance to be with Jesus and worship him so authentically. You get to this place, it doesn't matter who else is in the room. It doesn't matter what anybody else is thinking. It doesn't matter what they may, even if they think big of us, who gives a care? I get to be actually with my Lord and I get to worship him. That's profound. And amazing. Jesus didn't step away and said, you know, not you. There's somebody more higher or more noble or more great than you. No, you're just the exact right one. And it's almost like Jesus fills the room with this sense of, shouldn't we all be where Mary is? Lord, wouldn't you just fill? And I want to say something. You can't create a superficial worship. You can try. And I can say we've done it and we see it in our culture. But when we actually enter into real worship, there's nothing superficial about that.
That's right.
And I can't describe those moments. And I'm sure many of you can say the same thing. There's just not words to describe what it's like to be in that moment with Jesus. Lord, you read me from head to toe. You know everything within me. And strangely, but I become more aware of, there isn't a burden this world has to offer that isn't immediately lifted in that atmosphere of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. No other thought, but just purely your presence. Raw Jesus and nothing but. So it's that Mary. Just remember, it's that Mary. I don't have any notes, so this means we can go till midnight. It says, therefore, in verse 3, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. That's true. How many of us sometimes have that, like, what do you do with that? That Jesus, God loves, the omnipotent God, the creator of the universe, loves you, and yet you're sick. Why doesn't he heal? Why can you just not escape that? And sometimes, folks, we forget to realize that it's that moment. It is in that sickness, and the way Jesus reveals himself to us, we would say, Lord, we would have never caught you. We would have never seen you in that light had we not gone through that moment. But we can't stay there, right? God doesn't intend for us to stay there. It's not his plan. But it's he whom the Lord loves. And I want the Lord to label us with that word, love. I love Lori. I love Neil. I love Corinne. I love Mike. I love you. And see, sometimes we got the theology of it in our heads, and we got the doctrine of it in our minds. But there's just this need every day. It's like, Lord, I need a fresh... Just melt me with that love one more time. Because it's not the word of it. It's the reality of how the Spirit of the Lord makes that real to me. I need that, Jesus. So, he whom the Lord loves, and it's his sisters. Don't you love that? We got brothers and sisters here. And I was praying this today. I felt the Lord minister this to me for those who were in the prayer closet with us. And I pray for you too. Lord, thank you for speaking to me the things that I can't see for me. But thank you also that you speak to me what your word is for my brother and my sister. I'm seeing that reality from you before they get to feel that, before they get to know that. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for that touch of the Lord. I see somebody that's not even here, but I feel, Lord, that you've got a word for me, for them. They don't have to be with me for the Lord to speak to me about that. I think you're the same, right? So Lord, show us your word for somebody else, because I want your heart for my brothers and my sisters. I want to carry your vision to your throne, and I want to just let the love of the Lord flow down from him. Sometimes it's poured out in tears. Other times it's in laughter. Other moments it's like the promise of the Lord just stands out to you, and the Spirit of God just makes that alive to you, and you're like, I feel the Holy Spirit has helped me feel this promise is alive for you. I can't get away from it. I go to sleep at night. I wake up in the morning, and it's as real to me as anything can be real. It's coming. It's coming. There's a song that I was listening to, and I love this. It was C.C. Winans. It was a song. I've never heard it before. And you know, I love it when the Lord gives you something you haven't heard before. And it's this. I don't know if any of you heard it, but if you haven't, go look it up. And it's too late to lose. It's too late to lose. And part of the lyrics of that song says, the cross still stands, and the blood still speaks, and the grave is still empty. It's too late to miss your miracle. And I'm like, that's it. That's the reality that needs to re-dawn back on us. Every miracle that you perform, every miracle that happens in the name of Jesus points not to the miracle, not to the person who received the miracle, but it anoints us with the reality of how powerful God is. Because I don't know about you, but the culture keeps reminding me how sour and dark and devastating it is to live outside the reality of God. And you don't have to. You can run as far as you want. It's going to keep chasing you down. But when we have this Jesus in our life, it's too late. It's not that it's not too late. It's too late. And I thought about this as I just was reminded. Sometimes you're watching a game play out or a situation, And it's like fighter to fighter, and they're boxing it out. And there's this point of realization. It's gone beyond the moment where the other one's going to win. And I think sometimes we get in our mind that when we're praying for a miracle, Lord, when the miracle happens, when the thing that we're praying for takes place, then we know that we can say, it's too late. But no, actually, we have a reference point before we get there. And the reference point is we could go back to the cross. Every single time, Jesus already won. He already won. I'm praying from victory. I'm not praying for victory. I'm praying from victory. That's the power of the Lord magnifying himself in your life. He's saying, I am your victory. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not just giving you truth. I am the truth. You don't find it as an idea. It's not something you educate into your heads. It's something that's born inside of your spirit. Man, I only made it to verse 3. So it's the sisters that are calling out, Lord, I love you to do for my brothers and sisters as much as I love for you to do in me. Oh, Jesus, would you do this in our church today? Oh, hallelujah, God. Just more and more. More and more of the family of God praying for one another and believing for one another in your throne room, Jesus. In verse 4, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. When Jesus heard this, he said, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. God wants to own this for his glory. Now, I have something for you in that, because this is something the Lord caught me just yesterday with. Let me see if I can find the other verse where... let's see. I'll find it eventually. But what he said was, so he revisits, Martha and Mary come to him, and they say, Lord, had you been here, my brother had not died. That's true, right? They're stating a true, but they're not stating the truth that Jesus is actually present in. Because Jesus' truth is bigger than that. Actually, I need to read something else. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then verse 6, and so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. I don't know if you've caught that before. I've said it. He stayed 2 more days in that place where he was. When Jesus arrived on the scene, how long was Lazarus dead for?
4 days.
4 days. So it took a while to travel there, evidently, but this is the idea, is that Jesus knew that. Come on, friends, that didn't take Jesus by surprise. Oops, man, I waited 2 more days. I didn't want the turkey to burn, so I waited a little bit longer. But at least I have the Father with me. I can undo the mistake. No, he knew that it was coming. He knew that this had to happen. See, sometimes... There's a side to it that death has to happen under certain circumstances, but this one was so that he could reveal himself as not the healer, but the resurrection. See, I think sometimes the church gets lost in Jesus as a healer and forgot that he's the resurrection. There's a significance to that, but said that he loved them and he waited. He loved them and he waited. Lord Jesus. Sometimes we get to the idea, and I said this before, that there is no such thing. The tyranny of waiting too long doesn't exist with God. If he hasn't done it yet, it's not because it's too long or he's waited past due. It's that it's on its way, it's just not yet. So we think if time is delay, and actually it's just warming up the atmosphere for the Lord to get in on. That's why I love when it says Abraham, that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he was fully persuaded. It says, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, because he had a promise. And he didn't have one that he cultivated from out of the Bible. He had a promise from the promise maker himself, deposited in his spirit. And he knew something. When God said something, he cannot lie. Do you have that confidence today? Are you wearing that today? Are you holding on to that reality? Is that becoming even fresh for you? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to make that real for us. But then he said that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I love that. What he had promised, he was able to perform. Waited two more days. Because see, to me, the delay means nothing if what I've gone through has no more influence on my future. Well, this is what my family life was like. This is how hard it was. That's all just going to add to the joy of what's coming from now on. But you know, whatever miracle you get doesn't even, that's not what we're looking for, is it? Jesus is saying you're looking for something else. And so, later on, Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And the Lord said something to me. The Lord said something to me. See, faith is manifest through the Bible, is shown to us in a couple different ways. One is the anticipation and the belief in something that has not yet happened. But then the Lord showed to me this thought of, he says, did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? He did not say you would see your brother raised up. And this is what the Lord said to me. When faith is active in somebody's life, I can do a miracle and they'll see me in it. Come on. They'll see me in what I do. That's the difference. So there's times when you read in the Bible and you realize it says Jesus didn't do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. In other words, had I done the miracle, they still wouldn't have seen me. How many times Jesus did a miracle and they didn't see Jesus in the miracle? See, when we're authentically focused on the right thing, the miracle is just the icing on the cake. Jesus is the reality that I'm trying to get a hold of. So then it hit me as we're reading another portion in the Bible. It says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel should shine. His work is not to stop God from doing his work necessarily. It's to keep you from seeing it. And this hit me was, I've been oftentimes on the other side thinking to myself, I'm waiting to see God in the miracle. I'm waiting to see the miracle. I'm waiting to see how the Lord reveals himself to me through the miracle. But I'm realizing more and more now, the focus is, do I see God? And whatever he does it glorify him? That's the point of reference. So many things, folks, you don't need another miracle. You need to go back and reference what he's already done and believe him and see him and worship him in what's already been in the past, what he's already revealed himself through. And that's the open door for what he's going to do. See, the only way that you can believe God for something to come is that if the Holy Spirit gives you the open door to prophecy. You don't get to make up the will of God. You don't get to say, I believe God's going to heal Lee or God's going to minister to so-and-so. I don't get to decide that. And because I want it to happen, if I just keep believing, that's going to happen. That's not what the Bible tells us. What the Bible is saying is that the Holy Spirit will deposit to those who are able to receive it through spiritual discernment. They're able to see it before it happens. That I give them, I deposit inside them and download in them the prophecy of something before it happens. Then believe. Believe when the Holy Spirit has given you the prophecy. Otherwise, just pray for it. Lord, what do you want to do? And open that up to me. I don't know yet. I don't know. But then on the other side of it, how many times there's been something happen and we just didn't take time to really elevate the glory of God and what he did. And I love the story of the 10 lepers, and you got 10 were healed, but only one came back. And what did he do? He came back and worshiped. See, worship is not just music and singing. Worship is this, I get to really truly enjoy the Lord and give him his highest praise. And I recognize him in it. And see, that's the thing, is the spiritually blind don't see God in what he does. So what has to happen, and this is what I've been saying all along, I love how the Lord just keeps bringing it out, is what has to happen is spiritual death has to be broken to have spiritual eyes. See, we got dead people. We got religiously dead people who cannot comprehend God in whatever he says and whatever he does. It doesn't matter if you're saying it or the Lord's doing it any other way. And sometimes we step back and we're like, Lord, I don't understand. Everything I say, even when we pray, even when they ask me to pray, they don't receive the thing that you have for them. What is the deal? Oftentimes it's because you're talking to a spiritually dead person and trying to give them spiritual insight, and they'll never get it. God raises the dead, and then he forgives us of the past. Spiritual life, and this is the thing that I realize, is that if we're not careful, we'll get the church strung out on, the whole church will be strung out on teaching moral theology and forget we're dealing with spiritual theology. Because this is the thing, is that you can have a morally, in a sense, you can have a morally upright person and a spiritually bankrupt soul at the same time. So morals don't get you into heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you into heaven. So then, in a sense, when John says, he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is he talking to? He's not talking to the spiritually dead. They might be in your service. They might be in your church. They might be in the midst, but he's not talking to them. So that means, in a sense, when we read in the Bible and it says that God is angry with the wicked and that there's they're under the wrath of God, we can say there are people right now that are not released from the judgment to come because they're spiritually dead. God doesn't take off the judgment call of your life before he revives you spiritually. So when we see this, Jesus is introducing this reality in the moment. He says, if you would believe, you would see God. Let me say, spiritual death is wrapped up in not seeing God. That's where the key piece is. I don't see you. I don't know you. I don't recognize you. You're all around. You're there constantly. You're always and ever present. And I'm not even aware of that. That's spiritual death. So essentially, Jesus is saying to Martha and Mary, and I love that Mary's one of them, and I think this is the same Mary that it says that Jesus is talking about. Mary has chosen the better part, and she sat at my feet, and yet she needs this too. She needs this too. So something, the other thing that the Lord deposited into my heart as I was reading this and reading through, actually I wasn't even reading it. I think that was the thing, is that these verses and the story re-illuminated to my mind, and I realized something. Jesus didn't come just for Lazarus. See, we have to invite resurrection theology into everything, or we don't invite it at all. And so something the Holy Spirit stirred inside of me as we were worshiping there in our conference, and the Lord hit me with this thought was, James, when I introduced myself as resurrection and the life, I dealt with every bit of death that was present, not just Lazarus's. And then it hit me. Mary showed it when she said, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. There was unbelief in the background. There's death and unbelief. Martha had said the same thing, if you'd been here, my brother. And even the audience had said, "Could not this one who had healed the sick, could not he have kept him from death?" And there was death all over. See, that's the thing, friends. As I think about this whole thing, and as I realize that's what Jesus is showing us, is that when I come in, I eliminate death in every corner. It cannot exist where I do. When I come in, I stop it. So in that moment when the miracle happened and Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus also stopped the wells of unbelief in Martha, Mary, and the crowd began to have a new image and a new understanding of Jesus. And I believe the Lord in every corner, whether it's in a church, or if it's on your work site, or if it's in your home, the Lord has miracles in mind for those who will see him in the miracle. And so that's the ministry of the Lord to us. Lord, don't hide your face from me. The focus is, don't hide your face. I want to see you in all that you do. I don't want to be trapped with the world who, when God moves, I don't believe it. I'm full of skepticism when I see the lame to walk and the blind to see. When some poor soul that didn't know Christ and was trapped in the bound in their sins finally found forgiveness and they were worshiping Jesus. And when we looked at them, we said, but yet I heard a cuss word come out of their mouth. There's new changes. This is the reality of Jesus saves the soul and then he reforms the life. It doesn't happen everything perfectly, absolutely, instantaneously. It grows in increments within the life. We're immediately sanctified and we're progressively sanctified at the same time. And so we see those, we're like these missing parts. But this is the thing that you know. When you're in the Spirit of God, when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you begin to recognize, I see the resurrection and the life inside of them, even though the outward doesn't have all the perfections to it yet. The outward is changing. The outward is molding to the Spirit of God at work. But the last thing we want to invite into people's lives is this idea that would you just cultivate? And I see churches do this. I see religion getting in the way. And what we do is we try to sanctify the outside before we help them find the gospel on the inside. And when we keep doing that, all we're doing is we're dressing up dead souls and we're presenting them as if they're righteous before God. And the reality check is this. You might have missing places in your life. I mean, disjointed. I hear every Christian say this. I'm not done yet. God's not done with me. God's still doing a work in me. How many of you can testify? That's me. That's me. God's still doing a work inside of me. But I know one thing. I know that I have been brought up out of death into life. Jesus is my resurrection reality. And that's why I know that this is dying fruit. This isn't fruit that has a source to live off of. This is dying fruit in my life. And I love Jesus Christ. He is my resurrection reality. So when they were saying, could not he have healed the sick? Jesus is like, that's true. But I don't want to leave you with a healer. I want to leave you with the resurrection. That's who I am. So in this building is he who calms the storms. He who has the power over the seas of our life. And I'm just been, the way the ministry of the Lord has been to me lately is the reminder of those who didn't show faith and yet God showed himself. You got Moses, and here he is in the backside of the wilderness, running from Pharaoh, running, and here he is making a new life for himself. And God comes to him while he's tending his father's flock. He's not asking. He's not saying, Lord, I beseech you. I want you. That's not what it's showing to us. It's like he's in a moment of being void. He might have had that moment in his life, but this isn't one expressing it. And God says, I want to show myself to Moses. And this isn't wonderful that the Lord has same interruptions into your path. I didn't design it. I didn't set it up. Why today, Lord? Why today you're revealing yourself? Tomorrow, yesterday I was asking, today you're showing. And it's just to show us the sovereignty of God. You know what I love about this is that grace, is the reality of grace is this, is that I don't have to get to a certain place. I only have to, God has to decide. When he decides, that's the reality piece. Don't be in that mind frame of, Lord, I'm waiting for this to happen before you give me your promise. See, when I reread in the book of Acts, and it's like there's fresh reality when the Lord is saying, I'm the authority, James. I'm the authority here. You're not the authority. There's theology. I've heard this one said. This theology was, God's not in control. He's in charge. Throw that one out the door. That is not what we see here. God's the one in control.
That's right.
And I love what he says to Abraham. It's that thing that melts our spirit of, he said, I will make of you. You're not going to do this. I will make of you. I will make this reality come to be. I've decided on this factor. Just take one more glance at your life, and when you say, I'm not sure if I'm the right person, and you throw on all the doubts about yourself, not sure if I can get there, just remember that Jesus has the final say-so. He has the final say-so in the whole thing. And so what we get caught up in is the dilemma of our own heads instead of the righteousness of his word. Lord, what did you say to me? We need a fresh word of the Lord in our life. But the resurrection reality touches everything that's dead. Jesus isn't going to let them be in unbelief while he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's the power of the resurrection. See, I like the story of Saul because Saul thinks he's in righteousness. He thinks he's doing it right. How many of you know God has a corrective path for those who think they're living a righteous life and are not? See, you're going to have to do something. When you face somebody with the prejudices of your own heart, you're going to have to face the reality of the gospel one more time. You may say, I love what Jesus did when he came to Lazarus' grave. He said, "You roll away the stone. I'm going to raise the dead." And I love how the sister says, "Jesus, you know by now he stinks." And this thought came to my mind. I could just see Jesus either saying or thinking, "I know I would. You're not the one raising him from the dead. You're not going in there. You're just moving the stone that's on the surface. What's the deal here?" And so for me, it's just this reminder of that we put stones over people's lives that Jesus is already going to raise up. Jesus is going to raise up somebody that we put a stone over. See, one of the reasons I think we need the word of the Lord to us is I can't know this on my own. See, this is my theology for the moment, but you say, "Pastor, how are we supposed to get this?" I'm going to say, well, sir, you don't already have it, not in yourself, but because Jesus already has a plan. He already waited two more days with the design. Jesus knew he was going to go raise a dead man. He already knew that. They didn't know that. And while this reality is fresh and real, it only is known to Jesus. It's not known to the crowd. But noticeably, Jesus doesn't do this. Look at Mary and say, "Do you not remember your past and how you worshipped me? You're not, in that moment, you wouldn't have been thinking like you are right now." And this is the reality check is, Lord, we need fresh Jesus right now. I don't just need what you did for me in the past. I need you fresh right now. That never changes. I need you fresh right now. Because I worshiped you and it was awesome and the power of the Spirit was there and it was like no other and it has changed me forever in my life. But I still need fresh Jesus today. That's not going to get me through. I need you. You're my life source. And some are just not seeing that, and that's the prayer. So when you get a fresh touch of Jesus, can I just encourage you with this? When the Lord is ministering to you himself, he's probably going to put others in front of you that you think, Lord, reality check is, they're not knowing what I'm knowing right now. That's why you gave me this moment, because it's coming for them too. The Lord's going to visit. When I've heard of revivals, one of the things that I've noticed in every revival, it seemed, it came suddenly, and it came as if the church was not necessarily expecting that revival to happen, but it reached down to the recesses of the community. The power of God to be able to minister to the lives so for that he could get the glory. Not for us, but for him. So, as I end this thought, some of you are stirred to the altar now. You're like, I just want the Lord to minister to me now. I want to share with you this thought is, the altar call for me has always been that moment that I get to share intimate with you with Jesus, with the body of Christ in front of me. You're his people. I get to share that. Whether you're there and you're experiencing that, it's what we get to share together, these moments together. So as those of you who've come already, it's not stopped for you. The Lord isn't stopping that from happening. But some of you have things in your life and you said, Lord, it's death. I've been thinking through the idea of death and I have not been receiving you as my resurrection here in this part of my life. And I'm here for that. Others of us said, Lord, I am so fresh with the resurrection reality of who you are. I came here, like I said, I came here with that touch on my life and it just didn't fade from me. And I just want to spend more time in your presence. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm just going to give you the invitation. I want you to come forward if you would. And Caleb, if you'll just play the music lightly in the background, we want to pray and enjoy the time in the Lord's presence together.